Rock Mornings with Craig and Matt at 8:43. And look who's on the line now, Freddie P. from CanadianThinker.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, fellows. Good to be with you, as always.
How are we today, Freddie?
Very nice, very nice.
So, Fred, there's many topics that are discussed at CanadianThinker.com, but there is no topic that incites anger more than when you decide to bash the Habs. And your most recent discussion of the Habs has brought a lot of people very, very upset with you, Fred.
Well, yes. You know, we were using radio analogies off air. It's like on your radio station, you play the biggest, most popular songs to get an audience.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, talking about the Habs and their fans is my hit song on my website, too.
It's kind of like...
To gather an audience and readers.
It's like, geez, you sit there and you go, I haven't had the type of hits I'm used to this past week. Let's hammer the Habs.
Yes, they're very passionate Habs fans, but therein lies the problem. That's what makes them so disgusting. Mm-hmm. They don't see straight. You understand? They just don't see straight. They're caught up in this fantasy world of 25 Stanley Cups that, I mean, they haven't won a Stanley Cup, I think, since Matt was in diapers, right, Matt?
Pretty much.
Well, yeah.
Pretty much.
I would have been 12, so I was still in diapers, yeah.
Here you are, a grown man now, working on a radio station, and you probably can't even remember the Habs' last Stanley Cup, yet these fans hold on to this dream, this fantasy, this insistence of trashing Leaf fans, when really, over the past almost quarter century now, they haven't accomplished much more, if anything.
And you talk about the Game 6 a number of times in this column, mentioning the diving and the booing of the national anthems and such, and it really does paint a bad picture of Canadiens fans.
Well, it certainly does, because can you imagine in Toronto or even Detroit, can you imagine in Detroit having to tell the fans not to boo the Canadian anthem?
Yeah.
I mean, the other night before the Game 6 against Washington, who are choking big time, I might add, they have to ask the fans, they have to remind them that four players from the Habs are Americans, so don't boo the anthem. I mean, this has been going on for years in Montreal. Are these people... Yeah. Are they out of their minds?
Well, these are the same people that torch cars after they win the first game of the regular season, so...
Yes, and then that Maxime Lapierre, the diving? What do you think, this is soccer? anyway, I'm just disgusted by the Habs and their fans.
That's all there is.
As a matter of fact, I think any game in Montreal, the game should start, right, with the Habs shorthanded. 2 minutes for having arsehole fans. That's the way the game should start.
I like that idea, Fred.
Okay. All right.
You should Habs fans are a lot like European soccer fans, though. They're insane.
I know they are. But insanity with a focus is okay. But this blind insanity and living this pathetic dream is another thing, Matt.
Yeah, it's great, too, because when you read the comments, you feel the hate drips. You just get these people so upset.
Oh yeah,
it's beautiful, yes. Freddie. You have found the pressure point on Habs fans.
Yes, at one point, as one commenter said, I'm playing them like a fiddle.
Yes,
and I'm pretty good at those chords.
Habs fans are like a big scab on your knee, and you just keep picking at it and letting it bleed.
Yeah, anyway, somebody else wrote to CanadianThinker.com this morning saying, actually, Fred wants the Habs to continue in the playoffs. He wants them to beat Washington and advance so he can keep this up.
Yeah,
sure.
Keep the people rolling through the website. And you know what? They might have something there.
Well, you'd be like the commissioner of a league wanting a New York City to go through so there's more of a viewing audience.
just what I want to be, Gary Bettman.
One of the joys you get out of doing this gig is that you're able to give your opinion, and then, of course, listeners can give you theirs. And the idea of having a debate, because a radio show is pretty boring if everybody just all agrees on the same stuff, right?
Absolutely.
And so we got an email from a guy named Paul who says that he loves the Craig and Matt show, and he listens every day. He says, I appreciate the fact that you give opinions on your topics, and I either love you or hate you, depending on your opinion. He says, but you're in the hate category right now. And I guess it's always better to be in the either love or hate rather than the I don't give a crap category. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Anyhow, he says, your recent news story on kids being taught in grade 3 about different types of people, gay, straight, whatever, this is alarming to me, and I have to call you out as you speak of allowing all the people the right to speak their minds and hold their own opinion, which Matt and I say this every day on the little show. We say, if there's something we're talking about and you disagree with us, the phone lines are always available to you, and email and all of that, and we love to have people just pop on the air with us and give their thoughts. Anyhow, and then he refers back to when you, me, and Matt were all talking about Ann Coulter and her speaking at the university in Ottawa, and when everybody, the protesters, were jumping up and down and had her canceled.
Yes.
And so we all agreed that that was wrong of the protesters to do that, and that we all agreed whether you agree or disagree with Ann Coulter, she should have the right to speak.
Absolutely.
You know, he feels that we don't allow people who disagree with the gay lifestyle because he feels that we are a part of the gay agenda.
Right.
I once had a gay agenda, but it didn't match anything I was wearing, Fred. So.
Some say I have a gay agenda.
Well, you are cute.
Just throw that out there.
Uh-huh. So anyhow, he thinks we don't give people that opinion. And Freddie, I just got to say that if we do anything here, we certainly let everybody speak their mind. And you know, and you do that as well on this radio show and on your website.
Yeah, that's interesting. That was another topic that was people were quite passionate about. I might add, it was totally misrepresented. You know, I'm not a fan of Dalton McGuinty and his government, but I agreed with him on this one. I really did. And then, of course, in the typical McGuinty way, he, you know, does it about face and withdraws the proposal. But in his defense, it was misrepresented. If people were talking about, oh, you're going to teach kids about gay sex in grade 3. No, they weren't. Mm-hmm. That didn't come until, like, grade 8. In grade 3, they were going to start very slowly. You know, the differences and the certain little feelings you get. And then maybe in grade 5 or 6, tell them about masturbation or touching themselves. Like, it really was a delicate curriculum or agenda that they were proposing, but of course people fly off the handle right off the bat, and next thing you know, it's got to be buried because people are screaming from the highest hills, you know?
Yeah.
It's become amazing, and it sounded as if the grade 3 kids and 4 kids and such would just be taught about acceptance and understanding that people are different than you, and it's not necessarily wrong. But it is amazing how once people hear whether it's a gay or a race thing or anything like that, that a lot of people come out of the woodwork and say, well, I don't want my kids learning about that because that might be either crossing the line or disagreeing with me, and that's not how I plan on raising my kids.
It's interesting, too, all those noble people that stand up and say, that's my job. I will teach my kids. I will tell them all they need to know at home. That's a parent's job. Super, you're right. The problem is, in the vast majority of cases, the parents don't do it. They don't take the time or they're too embarrassed to do it. As I point out on CanadianSinger.com, there's a whole new dimension to it now, Craig and Matt, and it's called the Internet. And we can't be on our kids all the time. Mm-hmm. Sure, you can put locks and passwords on the computer in your home, but what about the neighbor who doesn't?
Yep.
Or the kid out in the street that has an iPhone that's totally hooked to the web or whatever. Yeah. It's there, a couple of clicks away. The most things are available within a couple of clicks of a computer that I didn't see or was exposed to into my late teens.
You can also do what Craig did and just rent his kids White Men Can't Jump.
Well, they did get to see, what's her name, naked?
Rosie Perez.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, I got my education from all my dad's hidden penthouse magazines. When my parents would go out grocery shopping on a Saturday, I would climb up into that closet, spend a little time with Penthouse.
Oh, sure, but even then, it wasn't
nearly as graphic.
Blatant pornography. I mean, everything. That's what would concern me if I had a kid now, like, under, you know, 14, 13, 10, 8. Who knows what they're looking at?
Yeah.
And how that can affect them, how it could traumatize them, and how it would manifest itself. I mean, I'm getting pretty deep here, but that's a big concern. So if the school's going to help out and equip these kids with the information they need at an early age, well, okay, I'm fine with that.
Yep, I agree, Freddie. And anybody who disagrees with us, they're more than welcome to either email you at CanadianThinker.com or hop on the air with us and voice their opinion.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, Freddie. We'll continue to read CanadianThinker.com, and you continue to go beat up on those Habs.
Hey, boys, loving you.